I have the privilege to introduce Pastor Bob and Barb Van Wyk. We have a little bit of history. It's been a long time. I've known them. Well, I was doing some of the math in my seat, and it's been over 30 years. So when we first moved to Iowa and to Spencer, I had, for the first time ever, a male teacher, and that teacher was Bob. He was my sixth grade teacher back in Spencer. And then over the course of time, I became pastors of the church that I attended, and there were youth pastors and everything between. And now we have that great opportunity to support them as their mission is in Botswana. So I know they're going to provide a wonderful message to us today, and we're so thrilled that they're here. And I just encourage you, as we hear their hearts, let the Lord be tugging on your heart. How can you partner with them in a way to take the gospel? And I know for Stacy and I, we know we're not called to go over and to be overseas, but part of our responsibility is to partner with people so that they can take the gospel message across to other nations. And so let that sink in. I encourage you to say, God, how can we partner with them to continue to advance the gospel? So we will invite them. I think Pastor Bob or Barb is coming up first, and I'll turn it over to them.
Hallelujah. Whew. It's great to be in the house with you. I feel like we're coming home. I wasn't here last furlough cycle. Bob was here. And so this place looks like all renovated since I last saw it. It's beautiful. We sense the presence of Jesus in your midst. That's what it's all about. Wow. So exciting to come back and get to be with you and see how church families grow. And not just this way, but this way. And this is coming as you engage your community. So engage church. Thank you for this opportunity to be back with you this morning. You know, the stories that we share this morning, they're our stories together. Because this house sends us. You have been sending us from the day we started, back in 2008 or 9, whichever year we got here. You've been partnering with us. You send a monthly pledge every month, and you pray for us. And so the stories that we share, which are amazing, I'm so excited. Every week we get to share these stories of transformation, and it just doesn't get old because we're talking about real people being changed, and it's exciting, and these are our stories. So we greet you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the language of the Setswana people whom we serve, Rialo Dumedisa, Keliana Lele Matla Lahajeso Christe. Hallelujah. We greet you in the mighty name of King Jesus. And it's our pleasure to be here. If you've known us at all, and we're going to introduce our family, you'll see how they've grown. Do we have slides up there? Yeah, we do. Awesome. So our kids were just young when we went over. All three of them were with us, but here they are in their grown-up selves. If you go to the next slide, Austin, our oldest, Tim, if you can believe, he just turned 29. Yeah, you remember when he was born. Yeah, and they're living in Indianola, Iowa. Austin's a full-time firefighter paramedic, and Jamie's in law enforcement. And we just have so much fun. It's so much being near them this year, getting to see them more often. So, and then over on this side is our daughter, Stephanie. She's 25, and she is getting a master's degree in business and professional writing down in Springfield, Missouri at Missouri State University. So she's doing that. And then our youngest son, Cameron, the one there sporting the Jesus hair, because he took a look at his dad's hair don't and said, I only have a few years for hair do. So he's just going to grow this hair while he can. And he's always putting these creams on to make sure it keeps growing. He's like, I get it. And but he's a junior at Southwestern Assemblies of God University down in Texas, a psychology major. Reason is God's put a burden on his heart to work with missionary families, missionary kids. So he's building that capacity so he can serve the missionary family around the world and help bring that emotional support and strength that families need, especially when you're dealing with all the issues that arise living cross-culturally. So super proud of all four of them. When you walk out, make sure you don't leave here without a new and improved prayer card. Okay? Bob and I on the front. The kids said, Mom and Dad, put the African kids on the back. We know that's your heart and your passion. We've been on 3 prayer cards already. You don't have to put us on there. I said, oh, no. With your permission, we need you on the back of this prayer card. Because the best way you can pray for us is to pray for these people right here. Because when they prosper and are in good health, even as their souls prosper, we can run hard and do what Jesus has asked us to do in Southern Africa. When they call and they're brokenhearted, they're down, they're struggling, it's a pull when you're 8,000 miles away and you can't get there to give the gift of presence. You trust Jesus and the prayers of the saints is going to get them through. And so we covet your prayers for our whole family that will continue to grow strong, roots grow deep, and that God will use these young people for the purposes that he created them for. Amen. Thank you so much for your prayer. So don't leave without one. It's not one per household. It's one per person. And even kids count, Caleb and Caden. You get one too, all right? All right. Awesome. Well, when we landed in Botswana, go to that next one, way down there, Southern Africa. Our house is 10 miles from the country of South Africa, so down there. Botswana is the size of Texas, okay? When we landed there in 2010, the kids were just 15, 11, and 8. The Lord quickly showed us that what we were going to do was work with kids. We didn't see that coming, but God knows. He's sovereign. What a great plan he had. And we began to work with children, and God put this passion in our hearts to see a kid-friendly, go back to that last one, a kid-friendly church within walking distance of every child. I dare say this is the heart of the Father for every place his family meets. For this house, a kid-friendly church. As you grow, keep that heart going for kids. Serve up a banquet feast for them spiritually every time the body of Christ gathers. Hallelujah. That wasn't in my notes. That's free. Must be from Holy Spirit. So, but that's our passion, a kid-friendly church within walking distance. So what's that look like? We do it in 2 ways. One, you can go to that next slide. We partner with pastors and local congregations to bring Sunday school teacher training. We come in with a contextualized curriculum for them, teach them how to use it, and then teachers are empowered to disciple those children within the church on a Sunday morning. But it won't surprise you to know that most children are not in church on Sunday morning, right? Kind of looks the same everywhere in the world we go. But God put this next ministry, GEMS, put this on our hearts. We go to the local primary schools at the government's invitation because they know their kids are suffering and need help. And they're like, church, please help us. But the church did nothing when they first issued that appeal back in like 2008. The church just stayed quiet because they didn't have anything to offer. But for such a time as this, God brought us. With my husband with 20 years in education before God called him to pastor and then sent us overseas, wow, God called us and showed us this need and gave us this idea to have this ministry where we get to go into schools, public primary schools. They give us 10 minutes a week. What can you do in 10 minutes a week? Ha! When you have a powerful tool like the Word of God, there's nothing you can't do. Okay? So we tell the boys and girls a Bible story in a kid-friendly way. We speak in the international language of children. What is that? Anyone know? Someone said it. Fun! You have fun with kids. You engage them in what you're doing. Engage church. You engage the kids in what you're doing. You put it on their level. They're right with you. And we say, okay, why do we tell you this story today? How does it apply to your life here at school? How does Jesus want you to live? And how about when you get home? How does Jesus want you to live at home? And how about as a citizen of Botswana, in your village and in your country, how does Jesus want you to be? We apply it to their lives. The Word of God applied to the heart. It's transformational. And then, this is what we get to do. We say, let's pray. All 1,000 kids in front of us at a time. You can see it in the next picture. There's 1,000 kids typically in front of us at a time. We say, let's pray. And we just ask Holy Spirit to come. Take what we just learned in our heads, put it in our hearts, and help us to live for you, Jesus. And I tell you what, consistently, Mr. Vasis, And Mrs. Vaseth, we see test scores go up, behavior problems go down. Because when you show up and you tell kids, God made you on purpose for a purpose. Like, really? I matter? That's news to them, people. They don't know. And neither do the kids in New Sharon. Most of them don't know. They matter. God knows their name. He's got a specific plan and purpose for their lives. You tell them that? Okay, well then I better study. I better work hard. God can use me. Yes, exactly. And so we see this transformational result that comes from just 10 minutes a week interacting with the Word of God. We don't get to hear all the stories of the thousands of kids that we're in front of every week, not just us, but the team that we train. We cannot do this alone. It's a team thing, okay? And so, but we did get to hear this story of Vanessa. And like I said, I'm going to tell you Vanessa's story. It's our story, because unless you send us, we don't get to go, okay? So it's our story together. The people who stay with the supplies get the same rewards. Let me tell you about Vanessa. We met up with her in July of 2022. But our story with her started a couple years before, because she was at that primary school you just saw the picture of that Bob would go to every Wednesday. It's just about 5 minutes from our house. And she heard him teach on Jonah 1 week. And she thought, Jonah ran away from God. I don't want to be a Jonah. I don't want to run away from God. And so when he gave the invitation, boys and girls, who wants to ask Jesus to come and live in your heart, take away your sin? And she's like, yeah, me. I don't want to run away. So she got saved at school because of a power of a 10-minute lesson. So then we always teach the boys and girls, hey, you can talk to God anytime about anything. If it matters to you, it matters to God. So you just tell him. And so she had a need in her family, and that need, her mama was a single mama, no job. All these kids, they never knew where the next meal was coming from. She got down on her knees. She said, on a Tuesday, went in a room in my house, I said, God, my mom needs a job. Please give my mom a job. Amen. 4 hours later, the phone rang. It was this guy out of the blue. Hey, I need someone to work full time for me. I think you're the one. Would you be willing? And Vanessa knew right then that God had heard her prayer. And he was answering her prayer. And he was going to, now he saved her soul at school. And now he's going to deliver their family from poverty. That job offer said, well, you're going to have to move to a village about 45 minutes away. But if you do that, I've got a house. You and the whole family can stay there. It's part of your package. How cool is that? So they have to move. So now the downside of that might be that now she can't hear the lessons every Wednesday. Okay? But God's in the details. Because at this time, we were only in 6 schools. We had been working, planting and training. In 6 schools, about 5,000-6,000 kids a week, which is a lot, but not compared to what our sights are set on, all of them, 6,000. And but we were in 5 schools right around the capital city, only in one village of the thousands of villages in Botswana, but it just happened to be the one village where Vanessa moved. And in that village, there's 2 elementary schools. They both have 1,000 kids. We're only in one of them, but it happened to be the one Vanessa went to. So she got to keep hearing the stories and be discipled in her faith. Well, we were in July of 2022 partnering with the local Assemblies of God Church to do a kids event that weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We bring the giant inflatables. Hey, you guys have those. We bring those giant inflatables out there, and we bring the sound system, the puppets, you know, do all the things to engage kids and give them the gospel Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we always hand out flyers at school so all the kids know where to go, when, and what time. So Vanessa got herself to that tent, but it was not easy for her to do because she said in April, 3 months before, she had been playing with her friends, climbing the trees. What else is she going to do? Climb the trees, falls out, lands on her right side and messed up all of this so much that she couldn't be an active kid anymore. She was in too much pain. So she got to the church, though, because she wanted to be there. And so on that Friday, Bob presented the lesson, and it was an invitation to salvation, prayed with the kids who wanted to receive Jesus. And I went to the piano at the end because we want to lead the kids in worship so they can experience the manifest presence of Jesus. Because once they experience it, changes everything. And I'm at the piano, probably something simple like Alleluia, Alleluia, you know, because language barrier. But and so we're worshiping Jesus. And I feel the Holy Spirit say, ask if anybody needs healing. I'm like, oh, okay. A tent of 250 kids, they're all going to raise their hand, because if you ask kids who needs healing, my finger hurts, you know, I got a sniffle, my great-grandma's grandma, you know, everyone's got to, but Jesus is like, don't worry, just ask him, I can handle it. I'm like, okay, yes, boss. And so I just said, anyone need healing? And nobody moved. Is anyone sick? Do you know anyone who's sick? We want to pray for someone. Jesus wants to heal. And no one came except for one girl all the way from the back. Came stepping over the kid, you know, to get to the front, stood right here. It was Vanessa. And had our team come around her, and we laid hands on her and prayed for her. She came back the next day, all smiles. And she told us the history that we had with her, which we did not know until that moment, that she'd been saved and delivered out of poverty, and what God had done for her. And she said, you know, the moment your team laid hands on me, all the pain left my body. But I didn't want to say anything because I was afraid it wouldn't last. But she had to go home and test it out. And she told her mom. She said, Mom, look what Jesus did for me. They laid their hands on me and all the pain's gone. Look, Mom, look, Mom. Her mom goes, we're going to go to that church. Yeah. So now you see today, we have a family saved, delivered, and healed because of the power of the Word of God in as little as 10 minutes a week. The Word of God changes lives. Looked at Vanessa, said, Vanessa, is there anything else you want to share with us? She looked right at Bob. She said, Pastor Bob, I don't know why you would leave your country and come to my country. I don't know why you'd leave the city and come to my village and my school and tell us about Jesus. But I'm so glad you did. Yeah, we're so glad. What an honor. We are so glad you send us, because there's thousands of Vanessas out there. We're just getting started. Jesus loves them so, so much. So one thing that God did for us last year in answer to prayer, we've been slogging for 6 years, building, 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 training people. We've trained hundreds of people, but getting them to actually take the step and go into their local school, that's harder, okay? So we just keep praying and working. And so in 2022, 2 years ago now, this month in February, God did a thing. And in about 6 weeks' time, he blew on a whole city, metro area in the north. And we went from 6 schools to 23 schools, reaching now between 15 and 18,000 kids a week with the life-changing message of Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! But we need a national champion to run with this thing, because missionaries don't stay forever. There's other people asking for help in other nations. We need a national champion to lead this thing in Botswana. God raised up this man, Mr. OG on the right. He's wearing his soccer uniform there that day, but his soccer jersey. But he is a high-capacity leader in Botswana. He represents Botswana internationally in the financial sector. He's a leader in the Assemblies of God in Botswana, and God has put a fire in his heart to see every kid know that Jesus is greater than any witch doctor, any curse, anything that could ever come against their lives. Jesus will change your life. Live for him and him alone. He's got that fire. And it's just our joy to partner with him. He said, when you're in America, will you please ask the church to pray that we can double our number of schools every year. Doing the math, if we just double from 23 to 50 schools to 100 schools to 200 schools, you do the math because of the multiplication in just 4 years' time by 2028, we could be in all 800 primary schools in Botswana, reaching about 750,000 children for our King. That's where our vision is set. The only thing that's standing between us and getting back there is those monthly partners. So please pray specifically with us, would you? When you pray, Jesus is our source. He is not short on funds. He just needs to touch people's hearts all over Iowa, all over the Midwest, all over, it doesn't matter, Assemblies of God, Lutheran, Baptist, this is the gospel. It knows no denominational bounds. It's Jesus. So if you pray with us, and if the Holy Spirit prompts your heart, just give. It's the greatest joy to just give to him, and then he advances his kingdom. And he credits your account in heaven for your gift. How amazing is that? Philippians 4:17 says just that. So we thank you so much for this opportunity to bring stories of transformation, not because of us, but because of our King who empowers us and says, some of you send, some of you go, I will give the increase. Hallelujah.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you today, and thank you for allowing us to be here. We're excited to be here, and we appreciate this partnership that we have shared through the years, as Barb said. It's played significant things. I was just, as we were worshiping this morning, the Holy Spirit was reminding me of a time literally 10 years ago. I came for a service. Pastor Collier was here at the time. And at the time, I was facing kind of a medical crisis. They had taken pictures of my heart over in Africa, and they were telling me that I had a blockage in my heart. And I'll never forget, when you've never had any heart problems, you just kind of ignore them. But they said, no, you got to get this checked out. And I remember coming to this church. It was the Sunday before I was going in for my appointment, and the X-ray had showed that they had taken over in Africa. Showed that there was a possible blockage in part of your heart. They call the widowmaker, and they said no, having no symptoms is natural, and you just won't wake up, or you'll just fall over. And I wasn't worried. I didn't have any, but, you got to get these things checked out. And we were here that Sunday, and I'll never forget. You guys prayed, and I went in for an angiogram on Tuesday, I believe, of that week, and everything was clear. The doctor, when I went in for the procedure, they had told me, they said, well, one of three things is going to happen. You're either going to just walk out of here because there's nothing, but this X-ray does not indicate that at all. So you'll either stay under and we'll just take you in for open heart surgery, or we'll put in a stent. And an hour and a half later, I woke up and they said, we don't understand this, but you can go home. But you guys prayed. And I know that the Holy Spirit touched me that day, and I just appreciate all that you have done. Even before that, how you've blessed our family, and you've always loved kids. Very first time we were here, I remember, you know, the best way you can love a missionary is to love their kids. And my kids were blown away that time that we came here for the first time, just starting out. You guys handed each of my kids a gift card. And for my oldest son, it wasn't just any old gift card. It was a gift card to Shields. And my son's an outdoorsman. And so, you don't know what that did to his heart. So thank you. Thank you for what you have done through the years. And continue to do to serve him, but also partner with your missionaries. It's making an eternal impact. But it's also helping families on this side as well. And we're grateful. Well, as Barb said, we're looking at reaching 750,000 children in Botswana. But, the vision is actually greater than that, because the program that we have written, Gospel Evangelistic Ministry in the Schools, has also is being translated into French. The first of those 3 years has already been translated. It's being used in Cameroon today. There are places in Western Africa that want to use it. And so we see it going international. Once again, only the Lord knows where that's going. But thank you for what you're doing to partner with us towards that. Because in the African continent today, by the year 2030, there will be 500 million children. 50% of the continent is age 15 and below. 50%. That's a huge percentage. But think of the impact if they can hear the gospel. If we can transform, if they can get saved and transformed to the glory of God, it will transform a continent. That's the potential that's there. That's the vision that's before us. Let's reach this 500 million children. Only He can do that. But He wants to do it. He wants all men to be saved. That includes children, boys and girls. Come to the knowledge of the truth. That's His heart. And so that's what we're working towards together. I want to share with you a scripture today out of Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 15. We know it very well. It's the Great Commission. One of several places that we find it in the Word, but we're going to take it out of Mark chapter 16 because this particular passage, I think there's a fresh and new anointing on His words today. And in Mark chapter 16, He says, "Go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in My name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed." If we go back to verse 15, He first says, go. What is our goal? Our goal is anywhere we find ourselves. Anywhere that He sends us, when He sends us out, that becomes our goal. So whether it's in Botswana, or if it's in New Sharon, or in Polk City, where we are living right now, or our home community of Spencer, wherever we find ourselves, that becomes our goal. And we share the hope that Christ has placed within us, the hope that we have in Him. And He says, as He talks through that, He says, share this good news with everyone. Not just this group, not just that cluster, not that everyone is open. Why? Because this gets back to the foundation of what we're doing and the foundation of our message, because everyone is made in the image of God. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, He made us in His image. In His image, He formed us and fashioned us. You know what that means? That means that every time you look in the mirror, every time you're interacting with someone, you are seeing a piece of God. Now, sin has warped that. Sin lies to us. But in Christ, we are the image of God. We are image bearers of His, which gives us incredible value, first and foremost for us ourselves. That's our identity. Our identity is in Christ because we're made in His image. But it also fixes high value on anyone that we interact with. That's why He says, anyone, go share the gospel with everyone, because everyone is made in God's image. There isn't any mistakes in His kingdom. There are no accidents in His kingdom. Oh, sin warps all of that. But in Christ, through God's lens, how we view others now is through His lens and the value and the love that He has for them. No accidents, no mistakes, no throwaways. Not to Him. They have value. And He wants them to be saved. He wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. He continues on with this. And He says, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Why does He throw baptism in there? We just talked about baptism in Sunday school this morning. Why is that so important? Because baptism, after we believe in Christ, asking Him to forgive us, baptism is that first step in obedience to following Him. Jesus said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Follow Me in how I've directed you to live your life. If you love me, do that. And that's that first step. That's that critical first step. And so baptism is so important. And then he doesn't just throw us out there and say, okay, you've done these things now. Now have fun. But he empowers us for the work that he has called us to do. He says these miraculous signs will accompany, not might, not possibly, not in certain situations. He says these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. What are those signs? The first one is we have power over the demonic realm. Oh, the enemy has his power, yes. But it pales in comparison to the power of Almighty God who has already defeated him. And so we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live wondering and knees knocking together about what we see around us as we see evil increasing. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. For followers of Jesus Christ, we don't have to back down. We don't have to back up. We don't have to cower. Our God is great. Our God is mighty. And through him, strongholds are broken. Chains are shattered. Prison bars are cast aside. Because all things are possible through him. He is great and he is mighty. And his power overcomes the enemy every time. Every time. Oh, we'll go through trials. We'll go through situations. But we always come out victorious. The Bible tells us we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loves us. In Christ, you are more than a conqueror. He's with you. His power is available to you as you live in him and with him. And then he says, he goes on and he says, they'll be able to handle snakes with safety. Well, what's he talking about? He's not saying bring the snakes in the church and let's become snake handlers. That's not what he's talking about. What he is talking about is you'll notice that on the outside, people that don't believe in Christ, in fact, those that have rejected him, they don't like us very well. There's enemies of the gospel. And they want to malign us, they want to categorize us, they want to cancel us. Persecution is at an all-time high in the world today. I believe those are the snakes that he's talking about here that are trying to neutralize us, poison us, and destroy us. And I believe Jesus is saying in this passage, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you understanding. I'm going to give you the ways to handle those kinds of threats that are coming against you so that you will not be conquered. Because my power is greater. My message will not be stopped. And then he goes on and says, if you drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt you. What's he talking about there? Once again, we're not talking about funny Kool-Aid. We're not talking about actually drinking poison. But what we are talking about, is what does the enemy deal in? He deals in fear. He tries to get us all worried and anxious and full of fear. And what does that do? That eats us from the inside out like poison. Anxiety, fear, worry, all rises up within. But you know what? His promises are yes and amen. His promises never fail. And when we stand on the truth of God's word, anxiety and fear and dread have no place in our lives. Once again, greater is he within us than he that is in the world. God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? We don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid. And then he continues on and he says, they will be able to handle their, they will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Listen, I understand that God chooses not to heal everyone all the time. I understand that. But that's not up to me. And sometimes in my weak faith, sometimes there have been times that I've almost wanted to give up or given up praying. But that's not my portion. That's up to God. My portion is to continue to believe. And until the end point is reached, I'm going to continue to pray for healing. Recently, I've been hearing several stories of people that literally were on hospice. Even the medical team had given up on them. And even here in Iowa, I've heard of several of these instances, one of them just a couple hours west of here, where a man in his 40s had cancer. The medical team given up. They put him on hospice. The doctor on the church board had come to the pastor and said, "You might as well get ready for a funeral." But that man, one more time, called for the elders of the church. He said, "Pray for me one more time." They came to his house, anointed him with oil, prayed the prayer of faith. And today he's cancer-free. He's off hospice. There's not a trace of disease in his body today. And a year ago, he was on death's doorstep. My portion is not to decide for God what the answer is. My portion is I'm going to continue to pray until God says, this is the answer. We pray that prayer of faith, believing and trusting in him. In 2019, I was substitute teaching a Bible class at our Bible school that trains the pastors in Botswana. In through the door, this next slide, came this young man. His name is Tamelo. He walked right up to me. He said, "Pastor Bob, you remember me?" I said, "No, you're going to have to help me with that." He said, he just went right on. He said, "Will you still go to the primary schools? You still tell those boys and girls about Jesus?" I said, "Do that, Tamelo, every weekday, Monday through Friday, I'm in the schools." He says, "I got to tell you my story." I said, "You started in my school in June of 2019 or 2014. And he was right. That's when I started in his school. He said, "I was the teacher that made sure all those students were lined up." You saw a picture of that school in a few slides ago when Barb was up here. He said, "I made sure they were all lined up ready for your stories. I had a 7-year-old boy at the time. He was in second grade. I was a 5th grade teacher. But what you didn't know about me is I was an alcoholic. I was a drunk. Every day, I would come to school. I'd drop my 7-year-old boy off at second grade. I'd go to my fifth grade classroom, teach all day. End of the day, take my son home. But I'd go to the bar. But you started telling those Bible stories. And my 7-year-old boy, he fell in love with those stories. He had run home at the end of the day. He had run up to his mother and I and say, 'Mommy, Daddy, get out the Bible. Read me some more Bible stories. I love these Bible stories. I want to hear more.'" 2 months pass. It's Friday night, August 22nd of 2014. Tamela said, "On that night, I came home from the bar. I was already drunk. I walked in my house, and there stood my family by the front door. They said, 'The church down the street, they're having special meetings. We want to go to those meetings. Would you bring us?'" He said, "I thought, I'm drunk, but I'll help my family out." So he puts them in the car, and think of the irony of this. The drunk father is bringing his family to church. But on the way, the 7-year-old boy turns to his father. And he says, "Daddy, you need to stop drinking." And he starts relating to his father the pain, the heartache, the brokenness that he and his family are experiencing because of the father's decisions. Tamela said, "I got to the church and I parked outside the gate. I wasn't going in myself. I'd purchased more alcohol. I was going back to the bar." But now the little boy's pleadings turned to sobs. His shoulders are shaking. Tears are streaming down his cheeks. Tamela says, in that moment, even though I knew I was drunk, I just thought, what kind of father am I causing that kind of pain for my little boy? His son is inconsolable. He picks him up, carries him into the church. He said, I sat on the back pew because it smelled like alcohol. But you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't care about things like that. That night, he touched Tamela's heart. Tamela gave his heart to the Lord. Tamela said, I went home that night. I stayed up all night thinking about the choices I'd made in my life. Thinking about the choice I made that night. When I got up the next morning, I went out to my car and poured out all my alcohol. And now Tamela starts leading his family to the church. You can go to the next slide. Church embraces him. Oh, that's not the right one, but it's okay. I thought there was one in between. Is it there? Oh, there it is. Church embraces him. Pastor takes Tamela under his wing and disciples him. And in a few short years, Tamela has grown so much in his faith. He's a leader in the church. He's a member of the church board. As he continues to pursue the Lord in 2018, he hears the voice of the Spirit. And the Spirit says, Tamela, I want you to be my pastor. So he enrolls in that Bible college. That's what he was doing in my class in 2019. On December 10th of 2022, now we can put it up, Tamela graduated, received his diploma, and he's a pastor in Botswana today. A family saved. A family healed. A family delivered. A 7-year-old boy that hears a simple 10-minute lesson. The power of the Spirit of God touches that little boy's heart, because God's word doesn't come back void. It always achieves the purpose for which it is sent. Gives him the strength, the courage, and the boldness to confront a wayward father. And God uses to deliver and transform a family to the glory of his name. That's his work. That's his power. That's the transformation of Jesus Christ that we are doing together, not only in Botswana, but you're doing it right here in New Sharon, in this region, to the glory of his name. Let me encourage you today, church, nothing you are doing for the Lord, even if it seems so small and significant, is wasted on him. His power, his transforming work, is able to do far more than we could ever imagine or think. Don't ever think that what you do for him is wasted. He doesn't waste anything. Nothing is discounted by him. He's using us, he's using you to reach people in your sphere of influence, whether it's at work or in your neighborhood, wherever you find yourself, he's using that. And people are watching. And his word never comes back void. It always accomplishes the purpose for which it is sent. God is for you. He's for them. Don't get discouraged in well-doing. At the proper time, receive the reward. People will come. They'll understand. They'll be saved and delivered and healed. to the glory of his name. Let me also say this. You may be sitting here and all of your life, I don't know who I'm talking to, but you've had somebody significant say to you, you'll never amount to much. You were a mistake. You were an accident. This one, you weren't planned. Not in God's eyes. Not in God's eyes. Don't allow yourself to be diminished by that kind of speech or lie. Because in God's eyes, you are still made in his image. You're still made in his likeness. And Jesus Christ died for you because he loves you. The enemy wants to lie to you and diminish you through that lie. You are a child of the Most High God. He loves you. He loves you. Once you were not a people in sin, but through Christ, we become the people of God. Adopted sons, adopted daughters. Ephesians 2 tells us we are his masterpiece. You are his masterpiece because you bear the image of God. Walk in that truth. Walk in that way. God is for you. God is for you. And he loves you. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. You are for us. And you want all men to be saved. Father, I don't know everyone in this room. You do. And Father, there may be someone here this morning and they're still controlled by sin. They have sin in their lives. They know that they're not a follower of yours. But this morning, Father, they realize that they need to be part of your family. They need this sin gone in their lives, and it comes only through Jesus Christ. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. As we repent, as we acknowledge our sin, but then come humbly and say, Lord, please forgive me. I need this life that only you can give. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you this morning, and you need Jesus, you're ready to start living for him. Your response is to him. It's not to me today. It's to him. But I'm going to ask you to acknowledge that to the Lord. To acknowledge that to the Lord this morning by lifting your hand to him. You know you need Jesus. You want to get rid of this sin. This is between you and God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But if you want to ask him to forgive you and start living this life in Christ, raise your hand to him right now. He loves you. You're made in his image. You are his masterpiece. And he wants you to know his love. Yes, you can put your hands down after you raise them. Anyone else today? He loves you. He cares about you. Hallelujah. Anyone else? God's for you. Hallelujah. Let's pray this prayer together. Those of you that raised your hands, pray this from your heart to the Lord. He hears that prayer. He loves you. Here's a prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I'm sorry for my sins. Come into my heart. Help me live for you, starting right now. Help me learn how to live for you. Thank you again for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you for anyone that prayed that from their heart, whether they're in this room right now or whether they're online watching. I thank you that you heard that prayer. Father, the old is gone, the new has come. You love them, and you are with them. New life is theirs. Fill them with your joy. Flood them with your peace. Father, help them to discover that fullness and richness of life that comes from knowing you and walking with you. And Father, I pray for anyone in this room right now. Father, there have been things that have been spoken over their life that have diminished them, that have categorized them, that have pushed them aside. And Father, there's even a narrative for some that runs through their mind that when things come up, that narrative just plays. I've always been an accident. I'll never amount to much. Not good enough. The list goes on. But Jesus, in your kingdom, we are wholly loved. We are dearly loved. There are no secondhand people. There are no second and cast-offs in your kingdom. There's no mistakes. Everyone is a fully fledged child of God. Sons and daughters adopted into the family through Jesus Christ. And you call each one now a masterpiece. A masterpiece. You are a masterpiece to the Lord. And Father, I believe right now your Spirit, you're rewriting some things in some minds. You're canceling. You're erasing some of the narratives that have played over and over. No more. They can't be there anymore. Now when they see and look in the mirror, they're seeing a new person. It's like looking at themselves for the first time and they're seeing a child, a son, a daughter of the Lord. Move on them now by the power of your love. Encourage and equip them. And help them to walk in that confidence and the newness of identity that is true for them, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we pray for Pastor Mike today. We ask that you would heal his foot. You are the divine healer. Heal it now. Gout, you must be gone by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Heal him completely. Totally gone, pain. You have no place. Everything else, totally healed. Strength returning to this foot. By your power, by your Spirit. Father, other illnesses represented in this sanctuary by the power and the blood of Jesus, healing come. Healing come. Cancers, Father, conditions of the back, of the knees, of the shoulders, by the blood of Jesus. Weakness in joints. Weakness in joints. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Strength. New strength rising. Strength returning. Mm. I'm just going to pause here. Since if you have any of those conditions, stand to your feet. If you're able to stand and you have any of those conditions, stand to your feet right now. And raise your hands to the Lord if you're able. Father, see these upraised hands. Bring healing now in Jesus' name. Healing now in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, healing power in Jesus' name. Pour it out. Pour it out now in Jesus' name. More. More. Completely whole. Completely whole. Completely whole. Completely whole. In Jesus' name. Completely whole. Yes. More. More, Holy Spirit, more. Yes. Now. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless this congregation now. Bless them now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you so much for allowing us to be with you today. Jesus is here. He loves you. Go in His peace. Go in His strength. You're a reflection of His. You bear His image. Go in that confidence. Go in His power. And let His light shine not only in you, but through you to all around. Point them to Him. Amen. Amen. Remember, remember, greater is He that is in us. Greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. You don't have to cower in fear at all. God's for us. So who can be against us? God bless you. Thank you, Tim.
As we continue in just worship, because I know God's presence is here. And it's such a sweet presence. Thank you for sharing a story. Thank you for sharing the impact that the name of Jesus can have around the world, but also here. We have the opportunity. We're going to take a special offering for the Van Wycks. So we're going to do that here in just a second. So ushers, can you come up? Asher, can you come help in the middle? Because your dad's up here. I also encourage you, the Van Wycks will be in the back. The Van Wycks will be in the back. They have a table set up back there. If God is laying on your heart to partner with them on a monthly basis, stop out and see them. Because as the things that we saw, the stories, and they're not just stories, they're life transformations that can happen when we take and we're able to partner. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you so much that we get to partner with you. That lives can be transformed. God, not only far away, but also here in this community. But God, I pray that as we take this offering, that will support the Van Wycks and continue their work. God, I pray that you would multiply it time and time again. God, I pray that you would also place in people's hearts the opportunity to partner with them. God, we thank you so much that you are faithful, that you're a God that never changes, but you're a healing God, and you're consistent over and over and over. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And with that, we're going to close down with the worship team has a song.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. I still got joy in chaos. Got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't.